First of all, I want to thank you for your prayers. Sean come through the operation well, and the pathology report shows that they got it all, even in the lymph nodes. And even though the cancer they took out of him was a Category 3, they called it, or something. But we thank the Lord for that. I was asked a question this week. Somebody's always asked me a question about the Bible. I was a young Christian. Said he was a young Christian. And he wanted to know, he said, where do you start studying the Bible? Which is a very, very good question. And to the best of my ability, what I think, where you start, one gospel and one of Paul's writings that is very essential to Christian growth and beginning a Christian growth in Christ. And that's the book of John, the Gospel of John. Nobody lays out the gospel and the sovereignty of God and the many things that he has done for the church like the Gospel of John. You know, God's told Moses, when Moses asked him the question, what is your name? God said, I am that I am. Jesus Christ explained that to us. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. I mean, you can't get any plainer than that. He's the good shepherd. Yes, sir. The good shepherd leads and guides and protects his sheep. And that's what Christ does. Everything pertaining to our life as Christians comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's our Lord, and as Thomas said, he's our Lord, he's our God. Amen. He's all in all. He is the triune Godhead in bodily form. And he made the triune God visible to his people. And the other book that I told him to study, and I give him some advice on how to study, which I don't know where you take it or not, but is the book of Ephesians. When God gave Paul the book of Ephesians, every grace gift that we receive concerning the salvation of our soul and the growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is explained in the book of Ephesians. First of all, it starts out as God being sovereign in all things, good or bad. He's sovereign in all things. He is the foundation. Without Christ, in this book, you have no Bible. You have no gospel. He is the gospel.
Amen.
In the first chapter of Ephesians, tells us about how sovereign he is, and all things are done well by him. All things are to his will and purpose, and that is one of the greatest characteristics of our God and our Savior, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. The second chapter tells how he took dead men and women and built his church, made his church. He that was quickened, we became alive in Christ Jesus, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He took dead men and women, children, and built a church, the New Testament church. In the third chapter of Ephesians, it tells about the fellowship that we have with one another. Both Jew, Gentile, black, white, green, yellow, it don't make any difference. We are all one.
That's right.
One. In Jesus Christ, if right. you've been born of the Spirit of God. And He determines that. The chapter that I want to speak on this morning, I want to start on it. We'll have an outline. Maybe if I don't finish it today, maybe the 18th, if it's God's will, and I'm able to be here, we'll finish it then. But I want you to look at the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the first seven verses. It's talking about the duties of the church in which we will perform. Because God give it to us, and we will perform it. We may kick, we may stumble, we may kick at the pricks, but I'm going to tell you one thing right now. When God gives you a vocation and calls you to do it, you will do it. One way or another, you'll do it. But listen to what it says. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. I beg you, Paul says. As a slave to God, I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You could preach on for that a week and still not cover it. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because there is one body, and notice that there's a one before each and every one of these unities and these gifts that's given each and every Christian. This is something right here that each and every Christian possess if they're born of the Spirit of God. They believe this. And you know, the disciples asked Christ once, said, what is the work of the Lord? He said, believe that I am He. That's what He said. Believe that I am He.
Amen.
And these right here, the Spirit of God will reveal that this is the truth in everyone that's been born by His Spirit. Bar none. If you've been born of the Spirit of God, you believe this, or you will believe this as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all.
Amen.
Seven great verses that explains our position in Christ Jesus. We believe this.
Sir.
We believe it. But first of all, it talks about being a prisoner, a slave. In the first verse, we become a slave to Christ Jesus when we're saved. You know, people say, well, I made Him my Savior, but I just, you know, He's just not my Lord and God. You've never been saved of the grace of God. You've never been. Let me tell you something. You don't buck God.
That's right.
You do what God says. When you become His slave, you become His servant. You will do His will. You might kick against it. I know, I've been there. When the Lord called me to preach, I said, He called the dumbest man to preach that ever was. How can He take a coal miner and make a gospel preacher out of him? But you know, God does all things and He does it well. And He never, remember this, He never calls you to do something in that He don't give you the tools to do them with. Does He, Joe?
That's right.
He gives you the tools to do them with. I run from it. I said, I can't preach. I've got a family to take care of. Or I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And I run from outside job making over $100,000 a year to the coal mines, where I worked in mud and water up to my knees trying to get away from the Lord, 7 miles back in the ground. But you know that's where he put me? He had a ministry there for me that I couldn't believe after I realized it. I was made chaplain on the Hoodale. We was averaging getting a man killed once a week. And it was my job to go report it to the family and have prayer with them and tell them what happened. That was the hardest ministry I ever had. Let me tell you something. I have connected steel 300 feet in the air. I worked in the mines. I've done just about any job you can name. I've helped build the tunnels on 77 until a man got killed. See the man killed it. Fell off of the bridge. I was working on the bridge, the one they parachute off of, and the man fell through the net and got killed. The hardest job that I ever tried to do in my life. But the most rewarding and the blessing that you receive in teaching and preaching the gospel is beyond reproach. It is. I still do. When I get to thinking about talking to people, especially that know more than I do, which is just about everybody I meet, but it's a blessing to be able to expound the God that lives within us through the Holy Spirit in His name and preaching His gospel. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. Yes, but it's frightening. It's frightening. As I heard Joe say up here one time, it scares me to think I got to be up there till I get up there. And then God feels. I've heard Paul talk about, and different ones. But the greatest blessing of all is the blessing of salvation and experiencing it and being able to expound on it to somebody else. You know who the greatest people in the church are? It's not the pastor. It's the one sitting in the pew. You know, if y'all wasn't sitting there, somebody might call the law and they'd take me to Pruney Town or somewhere. Because I'd be preaching to empty seats. The greatest gift of all is being able to sit and listen to the gospel expounded on about our Lord Jesus Christ, sit there and enjoy it. I didn't realize what it was how great it was to sit in a pew and listen till God called me to preach. Then you appreciate it, don't you, Joe? But we're prisoners. And we're prisoners because we want to be prisoners when we realize what has taken place in our life. And we will. I used to say, I can't walk worthy. I cannot walk worthy of the vocation in which He called me for. So I run. I run from it. And it wasn't me that had to be worthy. He made me worthy through His grace and mercy. Just like I said, the greatest gift of all is to believe that He is. Amen. And He is the great I Am. And to really know that, you must be born of the Spirit of God. And if you believe that, you're worthy to preach His gospel, even though our flesh has no worth to it. It'll go back to the dust in which it came. But to expound on the triune God and to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and God of all, and to realize that is the evidence of your salvation. Did you know that? That's the greatest evidence you can have. That's the evidence of your salvation, is to believe that He is and who He is.
That's right.
So we walk worthy because He makes us worthy. We're a prisoner. We were made captive in Christ and bound by His gospel to the truth. If you've been saved by the way, that's what bothers me about preaching. I'm afraid that I'll say something that's not the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And it must be preached in grace and truth, because Christ was full of grace and truth. That means he's the only one that's got any. Let God be true and every man a liar. But I must be able to speak the truth of Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary's tree for the sins that he paid for there for his people. That is to expand on the gospel. Something that's worthy is of great value. So when we're worthy, when we submit as a prisoner to Jesus Christ and seek after his truth and his gospel and the great attributes that he had, the character that he made and he brought out in us through the Holy Spirit that lives within us, when we realize these things, nothing is greater. Nothing. Let me tell you something. The greatest gift you've got is the gift of salvation. Amen. And if it wasn't for Christ, you wouldn't have it. And I'll just be honest with you. You wouldn't have it. But to really be worthy, it's to qualify to perform the task in which is set before us. And Jesus Christ gives us the tools to do it. Our vocation, there in the Greek, the word vocation and calling is the same word in most places. There's many vocations in the church. And we're called to fill those vocations, each and every one. And like I said, the greatest vocation that we have is set and listening to our pastor preach the truth and the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the greatest gift of all. And it says, wherewith you are called. What is that wherewith you're called? We're called by God. Let me tell you something. The trouble is today, there's too many people in the pulpit that have been called.
You're right.
They're out to... I heard a young minister one time, he got out of college, and he says, I will not take a church unless it pays me at least $100,000 a year. That man's a fool.
Exactly.
He thought that because he went to college and he people told him he was a preacher, that he could line his pockets with gold while he was preaching the gospel. You can't do it. If Sandy and I depended on what I've made for pastoring a church, we'd starve to death. But God has provided. I don't need no church's money. He's always provided for me. Everything I own belongs to him. My truck, my car, my home, my wife, everything that I have was given to me by Almighty God.
Sir.
And he'll give it and he'll take it if we don't use it to be worthy of the vocation which he called for. There's one thing I learned early in life. When the Lord saved me, and he saved me late in life. I was 32 when he struck me down on the road to Pinnacle Mines. And you know, he saved my soul. Beat it all, the next Sunday I was in the pulpit. Because we had a pastor, 97 years old, had dementia, and he forgot where the church was at. We had deacons that would not go up front and even talk or try to teach. And so the lots fell on me. My mother said, I could still see your britcher legs shaking when you stood there and tried to expound on the gospel. But we will do what God tells us to do. And from that I run. I run to the mines trying to get away from it. Jonah, he got on a ship But he come back. He didn't come back the way he went either.
Exactly.
But and then the gospel, I'm going to tell you something. You can know all truths. All truths. And if it's not expounded on in lowliness and meekness with long suffering for bearing one another in love, then you're blowing in the wind. That's what you're doing. I don't care how much truth you know. If you are not, if you do not love people in lowliness and meekness with long suffering, this right here was the hardest thing there was for me to learn, because I was bullheaded, I was self-sufficient in my own earthly way, fleshly way. But we must be lowly and meek. We must be humble. If we're not humble, God can't use us. And he will not sanction a person. I don't care how good a speaker he is, how much the Bible he knows, if it's not done in lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, with humility, it is of no value whatsoever. And then it says, forbearing one another in love. Love. I know we don't love like we should, but I'm going to tell you something. If we've been born of the Spirit of God, the love of God lives within us.
Yes, sir.
Through the Holy Spirit. Even though our flesh, there's no goodness in our flesh, there's no righteousness in our flesh, we still have the greatest spirit that there is living in our body, and it teaches us all things. That's what it teaches. It teaches us all things. I'm not going to get into that because it's later on in the sermon. But we must be humble. We must love one another. And to love one another, we must make sacrifices for one another. That's what love is. Look at the sacrifice Christ made for us, because he loved us. He died for us on Calvary's tree. He paid our sin debt in full, past, present, and future, because he loved us and chose us before the foundation of the world. What a love that is. There's no greater love that any man can do than to give his life for a friend or a brother. He gave his life for us that we might have life.
Amen.
Eternal life.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus. We're endeavored to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bounds of peace. You know, in order to keep the unity, we have to swallow pride. We must have to agree a lot of times with someone that we don't agree with. We must walk away. The hardest thing for me in lowliness and meekness, And to really endeavor to keep the unity, was to walk away. But God taught me how to walk away. It took forever. And he liked to beat me to death doing it. Because when my ministry was in the hardest hearts of men that I ever experienced, is that coal miner. They got the filthiest mouth. Their mind is never on heaven and heavenly things. Even they'll, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I've had them show me baptismal certificates they carry in their wallet. You know, this entitles me to heaven. They didn't even know what the gospel was. They didn't know that the gospel had to be administered by the Holy Spirit. See, God declared it, Jesus Christ paid for it, and the Holy Spirit administers to the hearts of man. They didn't even know who the Holy Spirit was. They talked me into going to Bradshaw one time. And if you know where Bradshaw is, some boys that had a singing group in the shop where I work. They begged me, "Oh, you got to come down. These people don't know what preaching is." So I agreed to go for two nights. And it was apostolic church. They had the incense. They had the big crosses. They had the robes. And I was supposed to have been there two nights. Ended up being there 2 weeks. And the first two I baptized was the preacher and his wife. I'd like to go back down and see if any of them are still Christians. You know, whether I saved them or God saved them, you know. He had asked Henry one time, said, "Henry, you believe in eternal security?" He said, it depends on who saves you.
That's right.
I never will forget that. He said, "It depends on who saves you." But we must endeavor to keep the unity in the church. Don't be a gossiper. The one that's the weakest, that's the one you care and become the meekest towards, the child in Christ, that he might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not allowing him to know if you don't have a humble spirit toward him. You're stunting his growth.
Oh, yeah.
I can't explain it no more. We're stunting his growth. I've seen it. I've seen young Christians say, "Well, if that's the way it is to be an adult Christian, I don't want to be one." And I've heard him make that statement. I've seen, Sandy said, she said, "I've never been thrown out of a church till I married you." She said, "I turn around, get thrown out of a church now." I said, "That's what happens when you preach the gospel." Long-suffering means to bear patiently the faults and infirmities of others, not quick to anger, don't be offended by misunderstanding. That's Satan's delight. He can take and he'll use church members to turn your words around to something that is plumb out of context and destroy your witness to one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. He delights in that. He does. In Galatians 6, it tells us we're our brother's keeper. 6th chapter and the first 5 verses. Listen to it. Like I said, we'll probably not get through this, but if it's the Lord's will, we'll finish it some other time. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritually restored, such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself least, thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Not the law of Moses, the law of Christ. Christ's law is the law of love.
Yes.
"But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man should bear his own burden." If we don't think of enough of our brethren, to help him bear his burdens or help him grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not a friend. There's something wrong somewhere. But we're to love one another in meekness, in lowness of mind, forbearing one another, in oneness. You know, I pointed out one spirit, one body. That's oneness.
Yeah.
That's oneness. We have that within us, that oneness that's given to us by Christ through the new birth. He paid that debt for us, that we can become one in unity, in long-suffering, in forbearing one another. That's why fellowship is so important. That's why we must assemble ourselves with the brethren. That's what it's for growth, Christian growth. The more we grow in Christ, the sweeter our salvation gets. It gets so sweet. You know, sometimes I just can't stand it. I have to get up and walk around the house and think about what God's really done for me. I've got up in the middle of the night, be working on a sermon, and I just couldn't get it. Get up and walk around the house two or three times and hit me. I'd come back and finish it. Sandy wondered where I'd been. You know. There's nothing that pleases God and pleases you as a born-again Christian than to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see our brother growing, our brothers and sisters growing. We can see them walking away when there's trouble stirred in the church, and they will be trouble stirred up in the church. Satan, he delights in that. That's one of his specialties. My dad said, if you want to know where Satan's at, look at the front row. That's not saying anything about you, Joe. But anyhow, he said, look at the front row. He said, those, you know, have been meetings, you know, and the front rows would be full of preachers, you know. And he said, look at the front row. You can find Satan somewhere there. And I guess he was right, you know. But we are to forbear one another in love and keep unity in the Spirit in the bonds of peace. If you want to read about love, go to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It tells you how to love, what love costs you. And it does cost you. That's like the... what was the man that walked away from the guy that had been robbed and in a ditch? He walked on the other side of the road and said he'd pray for him.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You better do more than pray for him.
Yeah.
If you love him, you'll do more than pray for him. You'll pick him up, you'll bound his wounds, you'll take him, and you will pay his debt to society to be healed. That's what love is. And the oneness in unity even is to surrender my rights and opinions to protect and preserve that's oneness. Except in truth. Except in truth. You do not compromise. I don't care who it is, where it's at. You can do it in a meek way. But you do not compromise the Scriptures.
Exactly.
That's blaspheme. That's what it is. Blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. We cannot compromise the truth. Because Jesus Christ is all truth.
Amen.
And He's all grace. Everything that we have or everything that we ever will have was paid for Him on Calvary's tree. And I'm going to cut it off there. The next time, if God wills, and the next time I speak, we'll speak on those seven unities that we all profess. Every one of us profess these to study them. We're a member of that one body. We're a member of that one spirit. We're a member of the one hope. We all have the same hope.
Exactly.
And let me tell you something. The hope that's given to you when you're saved, it will come to pass because God said it would. He cannot lie.
Amen.
He cannot lie. It will come to pass. It doesn't might about it.
Exactly.
Now I get in my truck, I turn the key, I expected to start. But I had to buy a battery here a while back, and it didn't. It started for four years. But I had to, that's worldly hope.
Yeah.
Godly hope, it must come to pass because He said it.
Amen.
There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. God cannot lie. He spoke worlds into existence. You know good and well He's able to take care of us. He's the great I am, and you know He can take care of us.
Amen.
Even the winds obey His command. The waters obey His command. Everything that He ever touched and created must obey His command because He is God. And He's Jesus Christ our Lord. A deacon told me one time when I was a young Christian, he said, when you get to heaven, how many are you going to see? You know, I hadn't thought about that. He said, you're going to see one. He said, He's three in one, just like you have a body, soul, and spirit. He's going to be sitting on that throne, and He's going to be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all bound in one. Because He is Almighty God.
Amen.
Our Father, we thank You for the time You've given us. We thank You for the love that You showed us in saving us. We thank You for our salvation. We ask Thee, as Joe stands before us, speak through him, that he might become and teach the riches of Jesus Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, bless Walter wherever he's speaking at today. And Father, keep us safe and bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.